feel all right now.
Hey, I feel all right now.
Do you feel like I do right now?
Do you feel like I do right now?
Motivated.
Motivated.
Sky high.
Sky high.
Rock steady.
Rock steady.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can do it.
I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Welcome to the Airsoft No Sim Tactical Training Podcast. Anytime, anywhere.
All right, there I was. No shit, there I was, standing knee-deep in a bunch of grenade pins, and all I had was an MRE spoon. That brings us to another episode of the Airsoft MilSim Tactical Training Podcast. And I think I just used profanity. I think. I'm not sure. I'll have to rewind it and listen to it later, which I never do anyways. But, welcome back, folks. As always, I'm Lex. This topic is an interesting one. I have touched on it on a couple occasions, on and off, but I've never really gone into depth about it. And it is the aspect of flanking. It is the tactics of flanking, the tactic flanking, whatever you want to call it, that's what it is. Basically, flanking, what is flanking? Now, everybody goes, well, it's just basically you hit the side of a unit, or you go around the other side and hit them from the backside, or whatever the case you want to do, or whatever you want to think about, or however you want to say it. It's actually got a definition, which is really fun, because when I started looking things up about flanking, because I understand what flanking is, but in order to translate a lot of these tactics from visual or written to verbal, it helps to get a little better understanding of a lot of this stuff. So I'm always learning as well, which is number one rule in life. If you're not learning, then what are you doing? So anyways, in this case, in military tactics, a flanking maneuver or flanking maneuver, whichever you want to call it, I think maneuver is like French. I don't know. Any of the French listeners out there, if you guys know, let me know. Is an attack on the sides of an opposing force. It is a flanking maneuver succeeds, then opposing forces would be surrounded from two or more directions, which significantly reduces the maneuverability of the outflanked force and its ability to defend itself. A psychological advantage, psychological, see, we've talked about that before. Psychological is a big deal. Psychological advantage may also be present as the confusion and threat from multiple directions is often problematic for morale. We've talked about morale before. Morale is a key factor as well. Large-scale tactical flanking is called a strategic flanking, where the targets of the flanking could be as large as divisions or even entire armies. That's where flanking gets a little interesting, because when you're talking about large-scale, I mean, airsoft, you very rarely see strategic flanking, because we don't have entire armies flanking sides. We have, like, squads, maybe a company level at best. You very rarely have a huge amount of people flanking, which is fine. I mean, it works out. So that's the definition of flanking, but what it comes down to is breaking down flanking in and of itself. It's simply this. 90% of the time, a flanking maneuver is conducted in an ambush, especially an L-shaped ambush, where you've already got set up a flanking element. So you have your long part of the L, you have the short part of the L. The short part of the L is in front of the enemy advancing. That is your flanking element. The long part of the L is your support by fire. They are shooting at the bad guys. The flanking element moves in. You shift fire as you're shooting. Flank through, consolidate, continue on with mission. Everybody understands the concept of flanking, or they should, or they need to start applying it. Flanking is one of those tactics that literally a good unit that can flank will win 99.9% of the time, because just like it said in the definition, what does flanking do? Causes chaos, causes confusion. It basically pincers you in a situation where you're facing not one unified threat, but two unified threats or more. Nothing saying you can't flank from two different directions. You just have to watch for friendly fire and oversplash from fire, or shooting through the objective and hitting people on the other side. Da-da-da-da-la-di-da-di, everybody gets shot. Not a good thing. So the big question that's always coming up, though, on flanking is there other types? How do you do it? How do you defend against it? Flanking's flanking. I mean, you can't get any more in-depth into flanking than just the basic concept understanding of the core value of what flanking is. And it's literally taking an element of any size, pushing them out to the far right, far left, or even from behind, and pushing through the objective and decimating an opposing force. It's a force multiplier in and of itself, and if you remember from talking about force multipliers, you understand what that means. But flanking allows you to break a stalemate. In a lot of cases in airsoft, you see a lot of stalemates where people bunker down and they get behind cover and concealment and they just sit there and you just end up swapping BBs all day long. It's like, oh, I'm not going to move anywhere. I just want to sit here and get shot at. Or I'm just going to sit here and shoot at you. Maybe I'll go for every couple times, pop my head up and wait for somebody to hit me. Flanking breaks that. That's what you want to use flanking for. You got an opposing force that's bunkered down into an area, flank them. Find a way around. It not only allows you to hit them from the sides and push through, but it also, flanking also allows you to, just as I said, find another way around. You may be able to find another avenue of approach on an objective that you didn't think about. So, few key factors in dealing with flanking, though, and this is what I really want to talk about, is defense against flanking. A lot of people understand how to do flanking, as I've already said, but how do you defend against it? And there's a few key functions here that a lot of people, you know, you automatically, I think a lot of people are automatically doing it, they just don't realize it. One of the things about flanking that to use for defense is maneuverability. If you're being flanked and you're worried about getting overrun by a flanking element, your maneuverability is going to be your key asset. It's going to be able to respond to it. Now, what if you don't necessarily have maneuverability because of terrain? One of the things that you can do to keep yourself from being flanked is by anchoring one or both parts of a line on terrain impassable to your enemies, such as gorges, lakes, mountains. A perfect example of this is the Spartans at Thermopylae, Hannibal at the Battle of Lake Trasimene, and the Romans at the Battle of Walting Street. All of those used very restricting terrain to where it choked the enemy into coming straight at them rather than being able to flank their positions. Now there's some types of terrain that's not always impassable, like woods, forest, rivers, broken or marshy ground. You can use those as well. Henry V at Agincourt used marshy terrain. That type of terrain is what can effectively hold your ground and allow you to keep from being flanked. Now, what if you can't have terrain? What if you don't have the ability to have terrain? Well, another effective way is look at what fortifications you have available to you. You know, if you have bunkers, if you have buildings, you have large ditches on the sides of roads, all of those aspects can basically be utilized to keep enemy forces from flanking you. Now, what it means by anchoring, and that's something that pops up. So what it's saying here is you're going to anchor your forces to these pieces of terrain. What that basically means is your extreme left-hand side or your extreme right-hand side is going to butt up against that piece of terrain. So for example, you've got a bunker on your right-hand side, and it's going to screen or protect that right-hand side from being flanked. That's where your line's going to start at, is at that bunker on the right-hand side. You're going to use that to cover your position. You know, you have a building, you have a river. Rivers are great terrain features for airsoft, especially to reduce flanking operations. Because 99.9% of the time, airsoft rivers in airsoft are probably no deeper than about 2 feet. But 99% of the people out there do not want to get wet. And then you have that 1% like me that are like, yep, whatever, let's go get muddy and dirty and we're going to go swim. And we'll pop out of the water like a bunch of weirdos with gear and shoot at people. But rivers are very effective, so you can use those to cover down on them. But that does not mean you want to leave that flank exposed just by having a piece of terrain covering it. Another good way to keep your left and right limits, your left and right sides covered, is skirmishers. Skirmishers, in the traditional sense of a skirmisher, are a small group of individuals. They're spaced out pretty evenly, and they're pushed out far out to the left and right. They are the first. They're like scouts. I mean, in of the sense of the word, a scout. They push out on your limits, on your lines, and any enemy contact is going to be announced by them. So as soon as they make contact, they start shooting and falling back, giving you time with your elements, your squads, your company, whatever, to respond to those attacks. So you can break off a fire team and push them over to the left-hand side so they can face that attack coming on. So you're not necessarily getting flanked by it. Or you can fall back and consolidate pull in your skirmishers, put a single front line against that attacking element, breaking their ability to use the flanking operations. You know, those are all good and effective ways. Now, there's another way that very rarely do you see nowadays, because formations are one of those things that between the 1800s almost up into the 1900s, you saw formations being utilized to pretty much deal with every situation in combat. Nowadays, not so much. Maneuverability has really overrun the capabilities of formations. But you have, there are different styles of formations that you could use if it come down to it. I mean, one of my favorite ones is, rather than doing a circle when I do I stop at an objective rally point, I'll make a square. Because what that essentially does is it forces anybody that's going to attack, we can consolidate in that square, and we're presenting straight lines. Rather than them being able to run around us in circles, they have to go along sides, giving us easier advantage to shoot at them. Essentially, think about the old movies like about Waterloo, Gettysburg, when you have huge amount of troops in formation and you hear the command, especially Waterloo. This formation was used very heavily and very predominantly at Waterloo because Napoleon was notorious for using cavalry against infantry. Form a square. The infantrymen would essentially, they'd fix bayonets, the front line would kneel, the second line would stand, and they'd put the butts of their rifles into the ground and lower them, and those they'd become spears. Your bayonets would be pointed out, and cavalry would ride right at it. Well, it was effective because horses would not ride directly at something that looks like a solid line, no matter how well you trained them. But it also, I mean, a horse hits those bayonets, yeah, it's going to rip that rifle out of the man's hand, but they're going to veer away because of the pain. So it worked really effectively against flanking operations by cavalry. Airsoft, probably not so much, but it's a good thing to know because you never know what kind of situation you might find yourself into. It's, you can pull out of your hat some tactic from who knows where, and it'd be like, hey, that worked. You know, that's the great thing about it, is being flexible in that capability. So those are all kind of, you know, formations, factions, you know, fortifications, formations, terrain, some ways to defend against flanking. Now, I'm going to go back to what I started off with, though, is maneuvering. Maneuvering is probably your best defense against flanking. And this is something that as soon as I say the word, there's going to be somebody out there that's going to go, nope, not happening. I'm not doing it. Your best defense against flanking maneuvers is not splitting your team up and pushing four or five guys to the left that's being flanked, because more than likely, you're going to be pincered and you're going to be facing multiple angles and multiple units all at the same time. Your best defense against flanking is to fall back, consolidate, and present a single unified line straight on. Force them to come at you straight on. And there's that one person out there going, but that's retreating. Yeah, so what's your point? If you have to, do it. Because it basically comes down to, you could stand there and let them flank you, and 99.9% of the time, a unit that's being flanked will get wiped out over a unit that falls back, forms up, presents a solid unified line, and continues to fight, and they may potentially even be able to push back into the ground they just gave up. Or they can wait and hold out for reinforcements and push back in with more numbers. But if you sit there and you try to split up your unit to deal with two sides at the same time, you've got a flanking element and you've got a support by fire element, you're not going to be able to handle it most of the time. So when you're dealing with when you're to defend against a good flank, you're being flanked, first words out of your mouth as a squad leader or company commander is fall back to your objective rally point, if you have one, or fall back to that next rally point. Fall back and consolidate, because essentially what that's going to do is in your mind, see a line. You've got a line of four, you've got a line, let's go 12. You've got a line of 12 airsofters. They're online, they're spaced out, they look beautiful, you got them set up. They've got their sectors of fire, And all of a sudden, you start taking heavy fire from your direct front. So everybody's focusing on the front. Everybody's pushing on the front. You've got a bunker that's anchoring your right-hand side, but your left-hand side is pretty open. So you put out a couple skirmishers. You've got two skirmishers out there. Well, the flanking element that's attacking, the units that are attacking you put out a flanking element. That flanking element is made out of 10 guys. They have another 10 that's putting down a base of fire. So your 12 guys are now effectively facing 20 people, but from two separate directions. Your skirmishers get hit, they get taken out. They do alert you. Now, you have the option. You can split your squad up in half, going 6 and 6. Effectively, what that's going to do is going to reduce your firepower incredibly. Because you're going to have the 6 that are facing the 10 front on, then you're going to have to shift the 6 in time to get online on the left-hand side to face the 10 that are coming from the flank. It's almost an impossible situation. Even with the idealistic training, terrain, I would not do it. Personally, as soon as those skirmishers get hit, I know there's an element on my flank, fall back, draw them in, force them to come at you straight on. Don't give them the ability to flank you. If it means doing a fallback, you're running fallback as you're moving backwards and you're shooting as you're falling back, do it. As you're doing bounding backwards, do it. Whatever it is, make them face you straight on. Don't give them the ability to face you with a flanking element. That's how you're going to defend against a flank. That's how you're going to break those flanks. That, or you could be really ballsy and push through the support by fire element. Turn it into basically a response to an ambush. Assault through the element that's in front of you. Can it work? Yes. Do I recommend it? No, because there's a lot of unknown factors. One, you don't know how many people they have on their assault element. You don't know how many people they have on their support by fire element. If it's a real true support by fire element, you're facing a lot of light machine guns, possibly some heavy machine guns. You're going to be basically running into the face of a bunch of fully automatic weapons. It's not necessarily a good idea. I mean, if it's down to the brass tacks and you really want to make something memorable out of it, try it and see what happens. I'm all about improvising in the field and seeing what happens at the end of the day. It makes it fun. But as a standard tactic, I would not assault through a flanking maneuver or even a support by fire with a flanking maneuver because of the simple fact that if you happen to do clear through their support by fire, you still have that flanking element that's now behind you. And they can come in and hit you before you can turn around and respond to them. Too many what-ifs and hows comes and what-tos and who does what, where, why, and how that you have to deal with. The basic concept with dealing with a flank is if you're starting to get flanked, pull your team back, keep them online, do a fighting retreat backwards. Get out of the flanking ability. Get out of that area where you're going to be flanked at. Once you're back, get back online. Make them come at you straight on. Get better advantage in that aspect. And that's controlling the battlefield. Because if I can flank you, I'm going to. But you have to give me that capability. So if you take that capability away from me by controlling the battlefield, I set up a beautiful L-shaped ambush. I'm ready to go. You walk right into it. I initiate my ambush. And then all of a sudden, rather than your whole team just bunkering down, yeah, you took 2 or 3 casualties, but rather than everybody bunkering down and trying to fight it out, you blow a whistle and your whole team just gets up and rabbits backwards before my flanking element can even engage. It's like, whoa, what just happened here? What happened? Why where are they going? I can't even use my flank. So now I got to pull my flank back in and I got to assault you directly straight on. And I've blown the and I'm brain farting. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for that word. Element of surprise. There we go. I'm looking for the element of surprise. I've blown the element of surprise because I initiated my ambush, but you broke the ambush. Either through assaulting forward or falling back, and in this case, you fell back. You pulled out of the ambush area, so I can't use my flanking capabilities to hit you on that ambush area. Or, you know, we get into contact, you know, second scenario, I'm moving to contact, I hit your squad, we start engaging, you guys are in a pretty good defensive position, but I realize that if I flank to the right, it's going to give me a better advantage. So I send my assault element to the right to flank you. You realize that. You call a fighting retreat. You bounce backwards. All of a sudden, I've got a flanking element that's sitting out there on the right-hand side, really nothing to do. They're exposing their right-hand side to you, potentially, because they're facing where you used to be, and you're not there anymore. So even if they start moving forward, command and control becomes a huge aspect here, because if you pull your squad out before my flanking element can really truly start flanking, and they're halfway through their flank and you're gone, they're literally walking right in front of your element. So if you get your squad back in time, get them online and get them prepped, they can now initially start refiring on the flanking element, putting rounds into that flanking element. I can't support them because they're in front of my line of fire, because I had to shift fire so I don't hit my own guys. So literally, I have to pick up my support by fire elements, push them forward, get them online with the assault element, and I'm facing a unified single line, and you have the advantage. You have the ability to lay down fire. But it all comes down to command and control, and it comes down to fighting smartly and controlling your units and your elements. See, if you're not doing that, then you're not going to be able to control the aspects of the battlefield. So flanking really has a lot of key factors into it that come into play. A lot of them are command and control of your unit, them understanding the concept of what you're wanting to do, how to go about doing it, and then the terrain is a key factor. So let's say that you are doing your flanking element and the opposing force does exactly what I said. They fall back, they consolidate, now they've got a unified line, they're presenting to you, and you're now facing a squad that's in a better position, and they're firing at you. They're already hitting your assault element, the support by fire element's too far out to really do anything, so you need to move forward. What do you do? That's a good question, because essentially what you're faced with is you've got two different options you can do with this. One, you can look at having your assault element fall back, get back online with the support by fire element, and try to push forward as a group. Two, you can push your support by fire element up to the assault unit to provide them support. Or three, you can just diddy mow out of the area, break contact completely. Because essentially at that point in time, you're possibly going to be facing a much better prepared opposition force by trying to push in. And they may have set up in a better position where you can't flank them as easily. It's always a very touchy situation when you start flanking, and if you don't use the element of surprise, speed and violence are key factors. If you're not using speed and violence and your teams aren't cohesive in their training and their understanding, flanking can go horribly wrong for you, because they can, like I said, they can pull off that X, get that squad, the opposing force can get out of the flanking area, reestablish their lines, and yeah, they give up some ground, but guess what? You have to go across that ground right into the face of 12 rifles that are ready to shoot at you. Whereas before, you potentially may have only been facing 5 or 6, because half of them would have turned and tried to focus on your assault element as it's coming through. Not the case anymore. That is dealing with flanking in and of itself in so many ways. Flanking is one of those elements that it's just done properly. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing to see happen. Done improperly, there's a lot of people that are streaming back to the spawn point because they got overrun. So I hope this helps you guys understand flanking a little bit better. As always, a lot of this was me sitting down and kind of understanding it myself a little bit better, because I know it, but to explain it to others, that's always the fun thing about dealing with this, is try to explain it in a manner that's cohesive and understandable. But that's flanking. That's how you deal with it. That's how I would deal with it. That's how I've been trained to deal with it. And a lot of it's going to come down to breaking that mentality of, oh, we're going to fall back. Well, that's retreating. We never retreat. No, you're not retreating. You're being tactically smart. You're using what you have available to you. And maybe you're giving a little bit of ground up, but it's not like you can't come back and get it afterwards. And honestly, if you're being flanked on that piece of ground, do you want to be there to begin with? That's the key factor. A lot of times airsofters get so set on, I have to keep this piece of ground. This is the objective. I have to keep it. That they don't realize that that piece of ground is not tactically sound for what they're trying to do. So rather than going in and moving into a hill that's out in the middle of an open field with no cover and concealment and sitting on top of it with no cover and concealment and being pelted all day long by BBs, they could have set up in a tree line just to the left of it about 100 feet more and ambushed every squad that was moving into that area. That ties into looking at the terrain you're in, looking at the tactics that are available to you, kind of tactical wargaming what the enemy might do to you. Utilize everything you have. Utilize your senses. Utilize your common sense. Utilize your tactical knowledge. Make it fun for everybody. And that's what flanking can do in that aspect, and especially flanking on this part of it, is making flanking work no matter where you're at, and dealing with flanking. So if you've got an element, you know, a unit that's coming at you, and you know they can flank really well, make them work for it. It's a lot of fun. You'll have a lot more fun to it. So with that, that is flanking, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you I hope we got a better understanding of it. Couple quick announcements. The MilSim Airsoft Skill School is open. I have 5 tickets still left. They're $45. I had to increase it by, I know I said $40, so I had to kick it up to 5 just to cover range fees and everything. It is open. The days are going to be May 8th through the 10th of May. That's a weekend. You'll report in on the evening of the 8th. School starts on the morning of the 9th. And this is an actual school, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't one of those where you just show up and we'll just kind of talk about stuff. No, you are going to be in classes. You're going to be doing the teach, show, do method. It's basically kind of like the military's crawl, walk, run. But I'm a very big fan of, I'm going to teach you about it, I'm going to show you how to do it, and then you're going to do it. I've got a lot of good instructors online to help out. Almost all of them have military experience or MilSim experience. They've been out there, they've been there, they've done this. Going to be staying in the barracks. I'm really excited about this. This is one of those things that I've been trying to do for a long time, and I just finally said, you know what? Let's do it. So this is the first one. The second one, the next class will be, I'll announce the date specifically, but it'll be 2 months from the first class. So July is going to be the next class. September, August. August should be the third class. I'm going to do 3 classes a year. They're limited in number. This first class is 12. If I get the reception that I'm hoping and I can sell this first class out, I will potentially look at it kicking up the numbers for the second class to 24. I have to have a minimum of 12 students or I can't do the class. So if you're interested, let me know. If you have any concerns or questions, let me know. This is going to be a good time. It's going to be a lot of fun. The manual is also out. It's for sale on the website. If you attend the class, you get the manual. It's 95 pages of MilSim goodness. It's got about everything I could possibly throw in there. It got to the point where 3 o'clock in the morning one night, I was like, you know what? I can't keep adding pages to this because if I do, I'm just going to kill my printer trying to print it. There's a lot of good information in this manual. So with that, I'm going to end this podcast. I apologize. I was a little slow with podcasts and the Tactical Tip Tuesdays. There are a few things in this world that will actually make me slow down and stop. Kidney stones seems to be one of them. They are not fun. I hope nobody ever has to deal with them. But I got mine taken care of, whooped them, and we're going to truck on. It's starting to warm up. Really looking forward to this season this year. Going to be out getting out and getting some slinging some BBs on. So with that, I hope you'll see you out there. Be safe, be honorable, and I will catch you on the field.
Remember the 4 rules of gun safety. Always treat your gun as if it were loaded. Keep your fingers straight and off the trigger until you intend to fire. Do not point your airsoft gun at anything you do not intend to shoot. Know your target and what's behind it. Always wear full seal-up protection, rated to ANSI Z81.7 standards, Keep your airsoft guns in a case or bag until you are on the field. Only conduct your airsoft activities on approved fields, or on private land with owner's written consent, or public lands with consent of local law enforcement. The Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast is not liable for any criminal action, injury, harm or damage caused by any person or persons utilizing the information presented. Be safe, be honorable and have fun. Questions or comments, find us on Facebook under Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast.